Thanks, Jeff, for reading God's Word this morning. It is good to be here again. And let me ask you again, like I asked you last week, are you really happy to be here today?
Yes.
Let's try that again. Are you really happy to be here today?
Yes.
That's good. We're in God's house to worship Him, and it's a great place to be, not only on a Sunday, but any other time that we might meet together to worship our God. And of course, last week, as has been said, we looked at a life of hope, and today a life of peace. Peace is a beautiful word. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word shalom is the word, the main word that they use for peace. And there's quite a follow-on to the New Testament. Shalom actually has a deeper meaning as well. It talks about wholeness. And fullness. So it's got that depth of meaning as well. And then the Greek word, of course, really means peace and also has that sort of contentment, that whole context with it. So today, as we look at a life of peace, we're talking about harmony, quietness, rest in our hearts. It's a spiritual condition for us. A spiritual condition. Of course, when we think about just everyday things and people who don't know Jesus even, they talk about peace. And I remember as a child in Western Queensland sitting beside the Moonee River, throwing a line in and waiting for the yellow belly to bite. For me as a kid, that was peace. I remember when they weren't biting, I was lying back and looking at the, I think they were ghost gums or river gums, I'm not sure exactly what they were called. But I can remember that time as a real time of peace for me as a child. But of course, at that stage, I didn't understand what the peace of God was all about in my life. But firstly this morning, and I'm just going to try and, there we go, life of peace, it's come up, that's good. Okay, firstly this morning, pardon me, it's a peace only experienced in our relationship with Jesus. And thank you, Aaron, for sharing that from Romans today. That was a great introduction and following into what the message will be really talking about this morning. But let's just look at this Colossians verses again. A peace only experienced in our relationship with Jesus. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. What an incredible verse or verses. Here in Colossians, Paul tells us that it was the Father's good pleasure. And the word fullness, when we're talking about the Lord Jesus here in these verses, the word fullness really means he was all in all. He was God. He was also flesh when he was on earth, 100% man, as I've said on various occasions, and 100% God. But all the fullness of God the Father dwelt in him, the Godhead, powerful. So the Lord Jesus, as he died for the sins of the world, he was the Son of God. He was perfect in every way. And just to clear something up, there's some strange theological things sometimes that's being talked about. And you may have heard, I'm not sure, but you may have heard, I certainly have heard it years ago, that when Jesus died on the cross, he became the most sinful man the world has ever known. Wrong. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for the sins of the world. He died for your sin and my sin, but he was never a sinner. And we must really grasp that. He was a perfect human being. Let me say that again. He was a perfect human being. That is, he was without sin. He had a flesh. He had flesh and body like your body and my body. But he took upon himself our sin. But he never was a sinner, because Jesus was perfect in every way. And that's why he could die in our place, substitutionary death. So the Son of God died on a cruel Roman cross. He died as a substitute in our place, and he shed his blood as a perfect sacrifice for sin once for all. In verses 16 and 17 of Colossians 1, it tells us that all things have been created through him and for him. All things. So Jesus was there in creation. God the Father was there. The Spirit of God, it tells us, was brooding over the waters. So the Godhead was there. All things have been created through him and for him. So this Jesus who died for us on Calvary in our place, this Jesus who left the presence of the Father, who left glory and came to earth to live his life, to minister and finally die on that cruel Roman cross, he is the Creator as well. He owns all things. The Bible tells us that all authority has been given to Jesus. Judgment has been given to Jesus as well, along with the Father, of course. So he is before all things, and in him all things are held in place. You know, at times the scientists, I don't know whether they try and scare us, but they try and sometimes say, well, look, it could be a catastrophe. A massive meteor might kind of hit the earth, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And those sort of things have probably happened in the past, and not a massive one. But they talk about all those things, and the earth, you know, it's not quite like it used to be, and talk about things falling apart. Well, brothers and sisters, we can be totally assured that things won't fall apart until the Lord Jesus lets go and lets them fall apart. So we can be totally confident that this creation, which is his, he holds together in a very special way. Remember in the Gospels when Jesus and his disciples were in a boat in a storm? The disciples were scared, of course. And then Jesus commanded the wind and the waves to stop, and they did. It's his universe, friends. He created it, he sustains it, and he's all in all. That's the God that we worship here today. That's the Lord Jesus that actually gives us peace. And so he's in total control, even though things in this world are chaotic. Sin has caused major, major problems, but God knows about it all. God knows about all the things that are going to come before the end time. We're probably living in some of those times now. But the important thing is this, for us this morning, that the Lord Jesus, in our verses that we just read, the Lord Jesus has made peace for us through the blood of the cross. And in Romans 2, that beautiful verse, so powerful. So through his substitutionary death, he took the punishment for our sins and he brought us back into fellowship with the Father. You see, before we knew Jesus, we were at enmity with the Father. We were against him, if you like. And that tension was totally there. There was no peace in our hearts, no real peace in our hearts until we actually trusted Jesus, repented of our sins, trusted Jesus and came to know him. So we've been brought back into that beautiful fellowship with the Father because of the perfect sacrifice of his son Jesus on Calvary. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Don't you love that word? Now, the NIV, I think, uses atonement. That's okay, and some of the versions still hold on to this particular word. It's not just because I love saying it. I do. Propitiation just kind of rolls off your tongue, doesn't it? But it's far more important than that. When Jesus died on the cross, friends, when he died for your sin and my sin, he satisfied the anger of a holy God against your sin and my sin. He died a substitutionary death, and he died once for all for the sins of the world. The moment we hear the message, the moment we believe, the moment we confess our sins and trust Jesus, and it doesn't matter if you can't actually remember that time, as long as you know that it's happened and it's witnessed by your life. So the moment these things happen, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and we have peace with God. Isn't that good? We have peace with God. Our sins have been completely forgiven, and the burden of sin has been lifted off our shoulders, or just lifted off us. And this was also very personal, because when Jesus was speaking to his disciples while he was on earth, in John 14, 27, even back then he was talking about this peace that we have in him. But not until after Calvary was it really fully understood. But he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Do you know, friends, fear is the enemy of peace. And you and I don't need to fear if we genuinely know Jesus Christ as our personal Saviour. Secondly, this morning, and this is a shorter one, this one we'll get through our 5 points this morning. A peace that needs to permeate every part of our lives. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16. "Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance." Every circumstance. "The Lord be with you all." So this peace is not just a peace with God. No longer we're against God in those terms of being sinners and not being saved. But now that we're saved, we have that relationship with God. But it doesn't stop there. This relationship that we have with God needs to permeate every part of our lives. The peace that we have from God, from our relationship with the Lord Jesus, is with us right now, with you and with me. So there's a personal peace that we can claim when the ungodly, hostile world that we're living in gets a bit too much for us. Have you ever looked around recently and the wars and all the things that are happening across the world, the atrocities and just so much happening, even here in Australia? Have you ever looked at it and sort of sighed and thought, "Wow, what is going on?" Well, it's a product of sin in this ungodly world. But you and I can still have God's peace, that deep down peace, as we just claim it, because it's ours in Christ anyway, in this ungodly, hostile world. I don't know what you're going through at the moment, but I know that we can claim that peace and experience that peace even when the state of our health is not good. We can claim that peace when circumstances around us all seem to be going bad. Perhaps it's also family problems, breakdown in families, unemployment, lack of finances, lack of lots of things. Brothers and sisters, because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us, because he lives in us in the person of the Holy Spirit, we can have peace as we pray about those things and ask God to look after us, and he will, always. Even when we look around, we think, "Wow, I don't think God's answered my prayer yet." Keep praying, because God will answer in his good time and bless us in a very special way. However, there are two essential areas where peace needs to be present, and we're going to deal with these under points 3 and 4. A peace that needs to be in our relationships, demonstrated in our relationships. This is very important. Let me ask you a question. Do you get on with everybody that you meet? Who said no? You're right. Do you get on with some people that may even be a little closer to you? Do you get on with everybody in your extended family? You don't have to answer that one. They might be sitting here today. I'm just joking. But, friends, this is really important, because we can't get on with everybody. But we need to demonstrate this peace in our relationships with everybody so they know that we have peace. Does that make sense? So they know that that peace of Jesus, they don't know where it comes from sometimes. You know, if we want to be a good example, if we want to be able to witness to people who don't know Jesus, we need to pursue peace, seek after peace. Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. And that sanctification means holiness or set apartness. I think the New King James uses holiness. So what's being said here in Hebrews? Well, God is saying very, very clearly that we need to run after peace with all men because it's in our hearts. And this sanctification, you and I are set apart because of what Jesus has done for us. We're not perfect by any means. We fail. I fail, I can assure you I do. But we need to keep short accounts with God. We need to confess our sins in an ongoing way. When we do that, we're not confessing our sins in an ongoing way to keep our salvation. That's happened at the point of confession. That's happened at the point of trusting Jesus, repenting of our sins, and the Spirit of God living in us. Ephesians 1:13, if you want a great verse to tell you that and to give to someone else, jot down Ephesians 1:13. The moment we trust Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Isn't that good? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's genuine salvation, by the way. There's all sorts of things being said nowadays, sadly, even in the evangelical church, about what salvation really is. But it is purely confessing our sin, agreeing with God that we're sinners, we can't save ourselves, and asking the Lord Jesus to bless us and to live in us. And he does. So how do we do this? Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says this: if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now that's a really good verse. I've read it on many, many occasions, because sometimes you work so hard, don't you? In relationships, even in the church sometimes, but we'll look at that in a moment. Sometimes you work so hard and it just doesn't happen. and you talk to people and you spend time with people, you show love to people, you show Christ's love to people. They don't know what it is, but it's that agape love. And it still doesn't happen. There's no relationship restored, because a restored relationship means that the two parties have to agree with that. The two parties have to come together. So as long as it depends on us, that's important. That's us being faithful in making sure that our side of the bargain is being kept. So we shouldn't reject people when things go wrong, or if something is said against us, or they've hurt us badly. We need to forgive them and tell them if we can in that relationship. But it doesn't always bring that unity and peace with the person that we're trying to get back in a relationship with. It's not always possible to be at peace with everyone. We said that. In the workplace, it's not always possible to have that peace with people in the workplace. With some family members, sometimes, very sadly, that happens. Loss of friendships occur over serious issues, and loss of friendships often occur over small issues. Have you noticed that? The devil's very clever. He often uses the smallest of issues to break up relationships. Very, very sad. But even in the church, these relationships sometimes need to be really worked at. So the fourth point this morning, this is a peace that's essential in the body of Christ. Friends, this morning we're meeting here as the body of Christ. We're meeting here as God's people, redeemed through the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we're excited about that, or should be excited about that. But because we belong to the body of Christ, because good things happen in churches as God blesses, because people get saved not only in churches but because of the ministry of churches and the ministry of people in the church, guess what? The devil is not happy. And he often works harder in the churches than he does outside the church. Often. Not always. So, Ephesians chapter 4. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And you know, Aaron, you probably realize this, that one verse, we could preach a sermon on that one verse. How powerful is that? So exciting. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul starts off in Ephesians 4 by urging his readers to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which they have been called. The first thing we notice that in any given church, primarily made up of believers, of course, born again, there is a unity that already exists. Because we all have the same Holy Spirit, those of us who know Jesus, all have the Holy Spirit living in us. So here in Ephesians, Paul is not telling us to create unity and peace in the church. God has already done that. It is there for us. We have that unity because we all belong to Jesus, we all belong to God, we all have the indwelling Holy Spirit. But the devil is always trying to disrupt the unity of the church and trying to destroy the bond of peace. When Paul talks about the bond of peace in these verses, it really is a bond as someone might tie a rope around it. Strong, firm, it's the bond of peace. So how do we do that? And just quickly, I'll move through as quickly as I can. And once again, I don't know whether you are note takers, but if you're taking notes at all, make sure you get these things down, because in this verse, we are given some very good instructions about how to seek this unity and peace, or to go after this unity and peace in the church. Firstly, we need to have humility. Now, we know what that is, don't we? Humility means we don't think we've got all the answers. And we know that we're only saved because of God's wonderful grace. Not because we were good people. Not because we did lots of good things. That's called works. And the Bible says we're not saved by works, but we're saved by the wonderful grace of God. Works are important, by the way, after salvation. In Ephesians, it also tells us about being saved by God's grace or by faith as well. But it also tells us that we need to walk in the works that God has already prepared beforehand there in Ephesians. So that's important. But humility, we need to exercise humility. We need to exercise gentleness. We need to be gentle people. You know, some men in particular have struggled with this. In ministry over the years, you come across some men who really kind of struggle with that. You know, I'm a male, you know. I'm macho for God, or whatever they say. But we need that, all of us, because gentleness is not weakness at all. Just as Jesus was gentle. And he was meek, but he was not weak by any means. And so that's so important that we have that gentleness and patience. Let me read you a little story. And this is a story about a policeman in America, so the terms would be a little bit different. But it would fit very well, especially with our society nowadays, when we have lots of people just being very were acting very sadly. A large, gentle traffic cop patrolled the corner street near our elementary school or preschool or whatever it might be here. A large, gentle traffic cop. He was kind and friendly. We all thought he was a soft touch. So did some cocky junior high boys. One day they began to taunt a little girl, and the policeman asked them to stop. When one of the boys mocked him, then pushed the little girl, he suddenly found himself flat on the ground in an iron grip of this weak policeman. He wasn't weak at all, was he? And so that policeman showed gentleness, showed care, but when it was necessary, when it was the right time, these boys weren't listening, he was flat on the ground and he got what he deserved, and they obviously took him away. And the writer of this little story says, this traffic cop, his gentleness was strength restrained. Isn't that nice? Strength restrained. It's a good example of what we need in our relationship with the Lord Jesus and in our relationship with other people. We need to be gentle, but have that strength that's restrained until the right time, and then we may need to act. So very quickly, these three qualities, we then see the practical application in these two words, forbearance and love. Now, very quickly again, there are different translations for this, to bear something, but this forbearance is really patience, or let's put it in Aussie terms. Forbearance means being able to deal with difficult situations without losing it. Okay? Being able to deal with difficult situations without losing it. So in this whole process, then, this is capped with love. That's that agape love, God's love. But let me say, before I just leave this point and we finally get to the conclusion with the last point, let me just say this. There is a place for righteous anger. Must be controlled. The Bible tells us not to let the sun go down on our anger. Don't continue it. But Jesus was righteously angry on occasions. There is a place for discipline, biblical discipline, in the body of Christ. Nowadays, there's an attitude in many, many places and in some churches where they don't go to the Bible for that sort of thing at all. But everyone has the right to believe what they believe and to say what they want to say. Bit sad. That has to be biblical. It doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it needs to happen. We must not give in to false teaching or false doctrine. We must defend the Word of God. So if someone is misquoting the Word of God, and it happens regularly today, if someone is taking a passage of Scripture and trying to twist it around to fit the culture, and it happens today, then you and I, as those who love the Lord Jesus, part of the body of Christ, we need to defend the Word of God. This is the Word of God for us. It has everything for life and ministry. It's inspired by the Spirit of God, and we need to hold on to it. But you know, right in the church at this point in time, sometimes on the fringe of the church, sometimes in the evangelical church, and I'm not going to name these movements, and if you want to talk to me about them later, you can, but there's at least two or three very, very serious movements that are confusing the teaching of the Bible. And some of those, it's been in America for a long time. One of them started in 2006, but good old Australia has picked it up too. We have. So we need to be just so careful. So these movements, the devil uses them to upset and bring disunity, to take away peace in the church and to take away peace in people's hearts. Lastly, and thank you for your patience this morning, but as I was preparing this message, I think I said to Aaron when I was talking to him about it earlier, I've got a few more points this morning. I need to get through them as quickly as possible, but I just need to cover the ground. Lastly, a peace that needs to rule in our hearts. It's a great verse, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So much in that verse too. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. It's a bit like the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace in the church. It already exists, but we need to be careful to maintain it. So too, when we trust the Lord Jesus, when we're born again of the Spirit of God, we actually have peace with God, but we need to appropriate what we have. And brothers and sisters, if you're here this morning and you're really struggling with some important issues, it could be health, it could be circumstances in the family, it could be your own personal circumstances, whatever might be really worrying you, and you just can't find that peace that you once had. Let me tell you a personal story quickly. I was blessed to have a godly mother. My mum was a Christian, my dad wasn't. But I remember my mother when I would, sometimes when I was a bit older even, and staying at her place, and I'd walk past her bedroom door, and there I'd see some feet, and she'd be kneeling, praying before she went to bed. And I remember talking to her about how she was sleeping at one stage, and she said something like this. I can't remember the exact words, but she said, well, she said, I pray, and when I put my head on the pillow, I go out just like that. I leave it in the Lord's hands. I leave it in the Lord's hands, and I have never had a problem sleeping. And I can tell you, she had lots of problems to deal with in her life. So I kind of took that on as well, and realized that in my relationship with the Lord Jesus, that was good for me too. And maybe it's good for each one of us here today. If we can't solve the problem straight away, we can pray about it, we can work on it, but let's not go to bed and just get so uptight and just so frustrated that we don't even sleep. Now, I know there might be other circumstances there with people who can't sleep sometimes, and they may need medical help, and have no problem with that, of course. But as a believer in Christ, there are times when we just need to put our heads on the pillow and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to hand all that over to you. Give me a good sleep tonight. And he will. So friends, this peace is so essential. Let me say as we finish, how do we have this peace ruling in our hearts? Firstly, we stay close to Jesus. And secondly, and I want to say this very strongly because it's really something that I have a deep conviction about, and stay in the Word of God. Have your quiet time, even if it's only short. Read the Word of God daily. God can talk to you very clearly through his Word. That's what it's all about. He can encourage you. He can give you peace. He can give you restored relationship if you meant to have it with a friend. He can bless the situation in the church that maybe pastors struggle with. And we all do, I can assure you. We all do. And we need to hand it over to God and let this peace of God rule in our hearts so that nothing else can get in. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you that it's powerful. It touches our hearts every time we read it. Father, we thank you that your promises are true and that we know that you will not only fulfill every promise in your time, but you will bless us each day. Father, we thank you that you have also promised to supply our needs according to your riches in glory. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've promised to protect us. We pray that you'd keep your angels round about us, and we know if anything does happen, that you and if you've allowed that to happen, then we can still claim that peace, knowing that in your will and purpose, we need to work through that and just be blessed indeed. So our God, this morning, as we leave this service, we thank you that we already have peace in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. We have peace with our God. Help that to permeate every aspect of our lives. Help us to share that with others. And Father, we just give you thanks that you love us dearly. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.